pick music or do we pick music? This is Bruce Salen. Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. This segment of the Bruce Salen Show is very appropriately sponsored by North Pier Fiduciary Management, a registered investment advisor in the group I trust and use to handle my money. You can reach them at npier.com. That's N like in North, P like in Pier, P-I-E-R.com, npier.com. And do write them at info@npier.com and request their quarterly and sometimes more often newsletter. It is free. I am very honored to have North Pier's Jim Scheinberg with me in studio, and we've been talking about money, money, money. We ended the last segment continuing on the gender differences in money attitudes. So where would you like to go next, Jim?
Well, it's an interesting song that I didn't know you were about to cue up because, I mean, the line in that song that everybody knows is money is the root of all evil today. So we were just talking about the positive aspects that men and women, the viewpoints and the instincts, as you mentioned, as they bring into the topic of money. But the things where we kind of behave badly also differ, the evils of money, if you will, in the way that the traditional female and male roles will misuse money. And that can also spark confusion and conflict in a relationship.
Generally, you mean my wife's desire for jewelry of the month is inappropriate?
Well, you know, buying patterns.
I should say diamond of the month. I wish it were just jewelry.
Well, the diamonds are a store of value, so your wife would probably argue
that is her argument.
That is an investment.
That is her argument. But she's not buying loose stones.
Clearly, the way traditionally a lot of female roles will look at purchases that might not be of a necessity, and that's, of course, a hotly debated topic, but an absolute—
You mean like shoes?
Shoes, clothes, purses,
things
like that.
Absolutely. Handbags?
Yeah, yes, exactly. And
of which my wife has a closet full?
So— Really?
Shoes,
I would imagine.
Handbags.
I would imagine that your wife is the only woman on the planet that would have that.
Oh, yeah, it's shocking.
Unusual
it?
Household.
Yes.
But we have to look at the way that men and women buy the proverbial shoe and handbag, because women will generally buy things on an emotional level that make them feel good, pretty valued, and that's why you end up with those type of purchases.
And I buy it on another level. Just to be very clear.
Right.
Very simple. Is it on sale?
Right.
If not, I don't buy it.
Right. Because then you're saving money.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. But men also behave, and of course there's a healthy way to do that. I mean, obviously you can't live in paper sacks. So that there's a healthy way in which to spend money on clothes and accessories and things along those lines. And an unhealthy line. And, of course, that's an important thing to get some commonality on, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But men also behave badly in their relationships with money, and that can create problems and tension with their wives. Men actually frequently use money to create shows of value, trophies, if you will, cars, houses, the keeping up with the Joneses categories. And we, as a matter of fact, I remember talking to you on a show not too long ago of where we talked about that immediate gratification, that keeping up with the Joneses, the fancy car, the watch, the suits, that show of value. And that can also have an unhealthy level associated with it. And that can be a source of tension as a wife looks at her husband's spending. Men also like to buy things like electronics that we think are just like
yeah, but those are useful, right? Unlike a handbag,
and you just nailed it. There's a utility to it,
yes.
And men look for utility in those type of purchases.
My own personal, I'm hesitating because I want to be careful I don't get in trouble at home, but my wife does in fact like all those stereotypical things, and I, on the other hand, like the occasional big thing. So I've been waiting year after year to save up enough money for the next car.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is important. And you're absolutely right about the electronics. When we moved, I didn't end up doing this, but I said to my wife, we moved a year ago, and I said, the only room I care about is the media room. I want us to have a good sound system, a good TV system, and I actually had hoped that we would actually build a whole special theater. And instead, we got a lot of nice carpets and furniture and wall hangings and paint and landscaping. And by the time we got around to discussing my media room, the budget was gone. I don't know how that happened.
Well, congratulations on having a budget to begin with.
Thank you. Thank you. And to my wife's credit, she never listens to my show, so I don't know why I worry about it. But to my wife's credit, she stayed within about 20% above our budget.
That's good.
That's actually not bad.
Most contractors go 40% over budget, yeah. So that's actually an
impressive
statistic.
I wasn't joking. I mean, we set the budget in my mind knowing that we would go 20% over. I actually have a 20% theory, Jim, which I don't know if I've ever shared with you. In whatever income bracket most people are, let's say they look to buy a house. My 20% theory is whatever your bracket is, you set a budget. So let's say your bracket is I have $200,000 to spend on a house, meaning the whole thing. You're going to buy a $200,000 house. When you start looking and you tell your realtor, we want to spend $200,000, the house that you really, really want costs $250,000, $240,000. You can't do it. Now, the same thing applies everywhere up the scale. All of a sudden, you're richer, and now you have $1 million to buy a house. And you start looking at houses, and the house you really want is 1.2. That's my 20% rule, or theory, I should say. And I don't know if you've experienced that or you think there's any validity to it, but it's kind of human instinct that you always want just a little more than wherever you are.
Well, there's certainly a lot of psychology behind that. And it's not just home purchases or car purchases and equipment packages and things along those lines, but it's really permeates, I think, the egoic human condition. And I'm not an expert on this, but those who value the things that they want in life as representations of themselves are not going to be satisfied at their current station. They want more. So the human nature of progression and betterment and evolution, if you will, is always going to put somebody one step ahead of where they currently are. And so I think you wouldn't be 10 steps ahead because that would be an unrealistic expectation.
So 20% actually makes sense. And to some degree, that could be a motivator, makes you work harder, maybe makes you save harder if you want something a little more than you could afford.
But then you'll want 20% more than that.
But that always happens.
Right,
that's my point. Whatever level you're at, whatever salary you think is going to make you happy, 20% more is what you're going to want next.
Well, I mean, that's a good segue because, you know, we did, of course, want to talk about the big, big topic between husbands and wives, which is budgets. And I know we'll cover that in the next session. But that's why planning is so important. Sitting down and actually communicating with each other about your expectations and your needs and your abilities, it's so crucial because that keeps you from getting into trouble with that extra 20% when your human nature kicks in and the want overpowers the logic.
Give us a bullet point or two of what we could expect on this topic in the next segment, talking about planning and budgeting.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously we set up the whole conversation by talking about how traditional gender roles approach the topic of money. And then you want to look at see how they can interact. And so we're going to talk about budgets. We're going to talk about shared vision. We're going to talk about the things that men and women value together as a commonality and different as well, and how to try and merge those two together.
So listen and stay tuned to us because I think you're going to offer some actual practical tips, which I hope our audience can employ.
Practically, yes.
Yes, I expect so. It is time for another break, but I want to thank North Pier, Jim's company, for sponsoring this segment of the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View, and we will be right back. You can tweet me at Bruce Allen. Stay tuned.